I'm Leslie Sisson of Moving Panoramas.
Let's see. We've got Wooden Birds. We've got A Black Forest Fire in Caron. We've got Film School. We've got Grad School. We've got the Austin School of Rock. You met Lizzie at the Austin School of Rock, right? So I've filled in a whole pile of stuff. So let's fill in, particularly you, some blanks. Wooden Birds was a band of note in Austin.
That's correct. It actually started in New York, but it was Andrew Kinney from the American Analog set.
So let's start way back, because sure. I'm not hearing a lot of Austin twang here.
I'm from, born and raised in Texas.
Right.
But I've lived in New York for the past 10 years, and now I just go back and forth between Austin and Brooklyn.
Okay, so film school.
Yes.
Where did you go to grad school?
University of Texas at Austin.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for Karen, the drummer.
So you're Mr. Linklater.
Yes. Yeah, Karen is actually really close with him.
Yeah. He was legendary for a while, and now he's like,
it's
amazing how one movie just boom.
Like Boyhood?
Yeah, like that. Is Moving Panoramas a band, a project, or a burrito?
It's a band.
It is a band.
Yes.
So it's okay, this is important.
Yes.
Because it's already kind of written up. Because you've been in so many things and because you do so many things, the assumption would be, oh, it's a project and she put together, you know, two other women and one can play bass and one can play drums and voila, and I'm going to be out there and I'm going to do this.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I guess it started off as a project because Rosie was my student. And she knew how to play every Led Zeppelin, Beatles, AC/DC song under
bass
the sun.
Or drums?
She's bass. Well, she's 19 years old now.
Well, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's right here.
Yeah.
Look at that. Major age range. Right there, number three.
There's a gap, but our average age is probably the same age as every other band out there right now. If you average our ages together.
Oh, that's cheating. If I average my 13-year-old daughter... And oh no, but my girlfriend's the same age as me, so we've got some problems. Man, it's not gonna work.
I'm not gonna get down there. You know, but there's no, I don't know, the age thing is.
It
really doesn't matter because she's such an old soul. I feel like she's more mature than Karen and I combined sometimes. Ideally, it would be great. I mean, this record are songs that I wrote. I wrote, you know, the music, the lyrics, and at first I was kind of guiding them through their parts, and then now I'm just letting them write their own parts, you know, and then eventually I would like it that we all kind of write together. So, but it started off as just a mentoring project for Rosie that turned into this recording project. So I was like, well, let's record. I want to show you what it's like to go in the studio. I was trying to like pass the torch on. And then I was like, well, let's play some shows. And then we just couldn't stop playing. I mean, once we played a show, it was just like more and more shows and then wrote more and more songs and then made this record. And
so one of the things that I was told, that's not in the bio, but obviously I have my sources.
That's cool.
Is that this is a very personal record. When people hear these songs, what are they going to learn about?
It all started with the song Please. And that's the very first song I wrote for this band. And it was about getting dumped at first. But I'm rewinding a little bit further. And then I'll rewind further than that. But then it turned into just losing someone, like my mom. She passed away in my house, like minutes after I finished my solo record. While I was
wow,
in,
while how, many, how long ago was that?
It was March, yeah. Right after South by 2011. I was on an airplane, landed in Atlanta, got the phone call that she had passed away suddenly. And
how
I
old
back.
Was she?
60. She overdosed.
Wow.
She was struggling with depression and anxiety, and she was on meds, and she struggled for the last. Many
wow.
years of her life, but she was living in my house.
I know
here.
A fair amount of those stories, but that yeah. I can't even imagine.
I was taking care of her mostly, but I was living in New York back and forth, taking care of her sort of, but she was coming out. She's gotten better. In fact, like, anyway, that was part one of the story that I lost my mom to an overdose, accidental overdose. Part two, I went on tour with the Wooden Birds, came back, did a solo tour, and the same house that I own here in Austin, I was a victim of a violent crime where a man broke into my house in the middle of the night and drugged and kidnapped me at gunpoint. And he was running from the cops, and he was a drug addict. And I, in the midst of all the madness and the fact that I thought I was going to die, I mean, I literally was like, this is how my father is going to find me, dead, raped, and murdered in a ditch somewhere. He was going to try to take me to a motel and rape me, but he wanted to get me out of the house because my brand new boyfriend at that time, not the guy that dumped me, a different guy, was with me, so he was trying to ditch him and take me to a motel, and I got
away. So how did you get this man? How are you here today in that situation?
I, to be honest, scared out of my mind, but I felt this sincere sympathy for him because he reminded me of my mom and my brother, who is also a drug addict and is in prison right now for drugs. I don't touch anything like that.
I was going to say, when you're surrounded by that, you have some amazing learning, don't you?
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's in my blood. Like, I've got a bloodline of people with depression,
that are having
anxiety. Yeah,
depression and addictive personalities.
Right, and so yeah. My addiction, my
is music.
Is music. The way I got away from this guy is I just talked him out of it. Like, well, sort of. I talked him out of hurting us initially, and then he took us in a car, and we stopped at a gas station, and he made my boyfriend go inside to get money and coffee, and I was like, look, man, you gotta let us go. And he's like, no, I'm too messed up. He made us take these pills. We didn't know what it was. And car was full of things that he had stolen from us, you know. And he was in the back seat behind me. I was in the passenger seat. My boyfriend was driving. Brand new boyfriend that I just started dating, you know.
And, what a great intro.
Yeah, I know. And so
you hang out with the coolest people, Leslie.
This guy was random, you know.
I can't even imagine. And this is not a bad part of Austin, I would
imagine. No, I actually bought this house for more money in a nicer part of Austin because I thought it would be safer 10 years ago. But so he was like, we're going to ditch your boyfriend and you're going to drive, because I'm taking you with me. And so I was like, okay. And this was my opportunity to make a sudden move. So I crawled over into the driver's seat and just opened the driver's door and just kept running. I didn't see his gun pointed at me, and I just flew. And right at that moment, my ex-boyfriend was coming out, and we just ran, called the cops, went to another gas station, and they hospitalized me because the pill that he gave me turned out to be PCP, and I was about to have a heart attack. And
did they find him?
They caught him a week later.
And he's in jail.
I was like hermit for a year. I was in this house that my mom had just died in, and that this trauma happened in, and I didn't want to leave the house, but I didn't want to be in the house. So I felt like I was imprisoned in this strange, like, double-edged sword that I couldn't figure out. So totally. So the only thing that got me out of the house was this job that I had teaching music to kids at School of Rock. And I couldn't walk 5 feet from my front door to the car without worrying something was going to happen. And I had severe PTSD. But being in the music studio with the kids, I felt safe. I felt free. And I was singing and playing music every single day. And that's when Rosie came along, because I noticed that she was going through some stuff a couple years later. And so if it hadn't been for therapy and music, and this awesome dog that my mom had left me, you know, these three things are what got me through this crazy thing that I hope no one else ever has to go through. But
wow. Well, the good news, he said, taking it into a positive place, is that I've heard the stuff, the music, and man, you know, the harmonies, the vocals. So I'm gonna go evil, just because it's kind of fun and because I do this. Ready? I'm going to do in the full announcer voice. Three women in a band, the right haircuts, not wearing t-shirts and rat. I said it last night to somebody. You know, I said, look at that. I said, the bassist has got the perfect haircut, right? And she's wearing, and you're wearing the black leggings, right? And you're all attractive, but not attractive because you're women, but attractive because you're a rock band with a little bit of style. But none of that would matter to a guy or even a girl. The second the harmonies happen, it's like the song's doing what it's doing. It's doing thunk a thunk a thunk a thunk. And then you go boom, and you go into harmonies, and you go into the signature riff of each song. And you go, you know, at least if you're me, you go, okay, I get it. This could really go somewhere. So in a world of right now there's that three-girl band that's back. You know those guys, the one from Portlandia, right? And there's the Go-Go's, and there's, right? So this is kind of like that multifaceted, awful question of how are you going to stand out? But we're a girl group, and the first thing people assume is, uh-oh, girl group.
Right. It didn't start off as intending to be a girl group, to be honest. It was just going to be me and
Rosie. It was about the songs.
Yeah, it was just going to be me and Rosie, and I was going to use a drummer in New York, a guy. And then we ended up wanting to do it in Austin, and then Karen, I'd worked with in Black Forest Fire, we just kind of have this connection as friends, and she's got this mad, crazy heart in her drumming. I mean, she's not like this crazy, amazing technical drummer, and sometimes she fumbles.
No, she's loose.
She's totally loosey-goosey, and I love her crazy heart. There, I'd been touring with all these bands with guys. I was the only girl in the band. And every time we would hit the road and meet up with another band with another girl in it, I'd instantly like latch onto that girl and be like, let's hang out. And I needed...
And so you wanted that.
I just never had done it before. And I played roller derby for years. And I know I helped like start the Austin and New York leagues. I was like, you know, and that I was a tomboy, but...
I'm not going to mess with you.
So I missed kind of like this, having this like female connection of just... trying to do something. I've never done anything creative with women before, so it just kind of happened. It wasn't a marketing scheme. It wasn't like, screw guys, I'm never playing with guys anymore. It was just something that seemed like the right thing to do. It just happened.
So when you're well down the road on this,
yeah,
right, and someone like me who might not be me is going, so let's see, all girl group, and you know, it's kind of, the songs are kind of loosey goosey, and you know, what makes you think you're gonna make it? What are you gonna tell them?
I don't care if I make it or not, to be honest, because like this didn't happen because I'm trying to make something spectacular and huge. It happened because it had to. Music is an appendage for me, and there's no matter what, I'm just gonna do it. And these songs just came from a place that. There are probably 100 more songs coming from. So if people are listening, that makes me happy. If they're not, I'm still going to do it. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so let's talk some business.
Okay, business.
We're going to talk some business.
Let's talk business.
Ready?
Yeah.
So you're here.
Yeah.
You're in Austin. And you says to yourself, I have to get this thing out there. So how did you connect with Chip and Aaron at Modern Outsider?
You know, it's because of this guy, AJ Toby, who works for Bank Robber Licensing and Publishing, or Bank Robber, House of Hassle, they're all kind of the same thing. He's just a friend. He used to work at Barsook, which was the Wooden Birds label. And we've just been friends through the years. And I guess I sent him, like, we just, this started off as an EP with four songs. It was One Magic Word, Please. And it was going to be a four-song EP called One. And I sent that to him. And it was at South by Southwest last year. I was at their party. And they were all like raving about it.
I was at their party. Why didn't we meet
them? Oh, we should have. I was with Matthew.
We blew it. Okay.
And then AJ handed it off to a couple people, and then he and I just became buddies and just started seeing shows together. And then he passed it to Modern Outsider, but it just seemed right because Chip and Aaron are in Austin, and they get to see us all the time, and they understand us, and. Especially Erin, it's that girl connection again. I really just kind of like connected with her. They reached out to us and they were very persistent, and that meant a lot.
Was it self-produced, the record?
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much. Like.
And then did you find yourself a great mixer?
Well, actually, so I got to give props to this guy, Louis Lino. I worked with him on a solo record. He's mixed and done some Wooden Bird stuff. Matt Pond, he produced a lot of Matt Pond stuff, back in the best stuff. Louis, we co-produced it together. So he's the engineer, but he's more helpful with just like being my second ear.
So what I've done is I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread on the outside, and then songs by anybody you want to play in between.